For the rest of us, if you would turn with me to Ephesians 6, we're going to read verses 10 through 20. I want to talk to you today about faith, our shield. Faith, our shield. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. Beginning to read in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Let's pray together. Lord, we just pray that you will watch over your word and perform it today. We surrender ourselves to you, and we open ourselves up to you, Lord, for the seed of your word to be sown not sparingly into our lives, Lord God. We welcome you to do your mighty work by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words that you have ordained for this morning. Pray, Lord, that all of it will be for your glory and yours alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this message is kind of springboarding off what I shared with you last week in our word for the year and beyond. I shared the acronym TRIP with you last week, if you were here, and that acronym T is for turmoil, R is for repentance, I is for infilling, and P is for power. So, believe it's good. We're going to have turmoil. We are having turmoil. We're in the midst of turmoil in the world. But that turmoil will lead people to repentance because it makes people uncomfortable. And people turn to repentance. And then by repenting, then being infilled with the Holy Spirit, which in turn empowers us. All right? Just wanted to recap that a little bit. I completely believe what that says to me is God is going to send turmoil that is going to produce revival. Alright? That's what that says to me. Alright, so, and if we are going to be in the midst of a revival, that requires that we all learn to live by faith and not by sight. We all must learn to live by faith. Alright, so, faith, our shield. In our passage, it says in verse 11, put on the full armor of God. Why? So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And I've said this before, I can't remember if I said it last week or not, but putting on the full armor of God is actually clothing ourselves with Christ. Being in a right and powerful and constant relationship with Jesus Christ and being clothed by Him. And when we are clothed by Him, then we are clothed with the robe of righteousness. Alright? Without the robe of righteousness, no one can enter heaven. I don't have time to go to all the scriptures to lay that all out for you, but if you're here and you're a person of the Word, you know what I'm talking about. Alright? So, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Do you think the devil is scheming right now in our world? Yes. Amen? He's scheming all the time, and he hates us. I got a revelation for you. The devil hates you. He hates me. I don't care. I don't like him either. And he will never be saved. He is evil to the core, and it is impossible for the devil to be saved. We, on the other hand, have Jesus Christ who died for us. To set us free from our sins. Hallelujah. So in verse 12 it goes on to say, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Guys, we've got to get this ingrained in us. Our struggle is not with flesh and blood. You know, even when somebody is up in your face and you feel like popping them, the battle is what is with what is in that person rather than with the person. Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with Smith Wigglesworth, but he was a revivalist back in the early 1900s. There are newspaper accounts of him, because it got in the newspapers, because there were times when in altar calls, people came forward for healing, and he would punch people. I'm serious. I have copies of the newspaper accounts of this. I'm telling you the truth. He even, one time, there was a woman that laid a baby, well, not a baby, about a two-year-old toddler, from what I understand, on the altar and had brought this child up for healing. And boy, he caught flack for this. But he took a couple steps forward and kicked that baby, that two-year-old toddler, right off of the stage. But that child had been crippled from birth. And when that child landed, it took off running and run right out of the church. Had never walked in his life. Now that's radical. And don't count on me to start kicking babies. I'm not trying to establish a doctrine here. I just want you to understand that God sometimes, quite often actually, operates out of the realm of the normal. He used Smith Wigglesworth in amazing ways. I mean, you can't, I don't know about you, but you can't hardly even comprehend that to think about. But there were times, too, that he would punch people. The Spirit would just move him to punch the person. And there were times when he would punch people and they would throw up as a result of it, and they would throw up tumors. And there would be tumors laying on the floor in front of an altar. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? The man had learned the secret of living by faith, not by sight. And he had learned the secret of operating in the Spirit, not within the confines of what man expects. That's faith, my friends. That's faith like most of us, me included, we don't understand. Smith Wigglesworth had found a place in Christ where he was used to do things that no one else has ever accomplished, nor should they try to. He was a very unique individual. He's a little man, from what I understand. He had to wear kids' shoes. I don't have that problem. But seriously, he was a tiny man. He was so small, he wore children's shoes. And the other thing was, he himself had physical ailment. He was so plagued with kidney stones that after the services were over, he would go home and lay on the floor and writhe in pain with kidney stones. So he was operating in the supernatural while he was dealing with physical problems of his own, but he overcame because of the great faith that he had in God. Now some of you are looking at me like, is he serious? I'm dead serious. I actually have a book about this thick that I read years ago and have referred to from time to time that is a compilation of all the sermons that Smith Wigglesworth preached. And it was long enough ago that the language was different than it is now, and it's an interesting read. But anyway, I want you to understand that walking by faith it is a different kind of walk. Because our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And Smith Wigglesworth was asked why he punched the people. When he punched them, his response was, "Oh, I'm not punching them. I'm punching the devil in them." See, in his mind, he wasn't punching the person. Now, to those sitting there or standing there, they looked and they saw his fist hit that person. But Smith Wigglesworth, in his faith, he's, "No, I'm punching the devil." And that's why the tumors that were there by the devil came up and came out. So we should expect God to do things that are out of the ordinary. Because our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. Against the rulers. Against the authorities. Okay? Against the power of this dark world. Against those powers. And against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now don't mistake what this means. There is no evil in heaven because evil was kicked out of heaven when Satan and one-third of the angels rebelled against God. So don't be confused by this. When it talks about evil in the heavenly realms, what it is talking about is in the arid places. It's not talking about the heaven that we all want to go reside in. It's not talking about that. That's not the heavenlies it's talking about. It's talking about the arid places. What are the arid places? Everywhere around us. Do you believe? I believe there are different dimensions. Okay? That's what I believe. I don't believe heaven is a place far away. I believe heaven is a different dimension. That's just what I believe, guys. So now you know that. You might think I'm crazy, but that's what I believe. So our war is not with flesh and blood, but it's with all of this long list against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's who our war is with. And it requires that we walk by faith to be able to overcome all of that evil. All of that scheming of the enemy. To be able to have discernment through the power of the Holy Spirit to recognize the evil schemes and renounce them. Verse 13 says, "So therefore, put on the full armor of God, Don't put on just some of it. Clothe yourself with Christ. Don't piecemeal the Word of God, because Jesus is the living Word. Jesus is the living Word. So when we clothe ourselves with Christ, we are also clothing ourselves with the living Word. So put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, and it's here, you may be able to stand your ground. How long have you been listening to me saying, stand up and speak up, brothers and sisters? Amen. Have I not been challenging you to do that? It's time for the believers to stand up and speak up. We are in a war, kingdom against kingdom. It's no accident that you and I are alive today. It's by God's design. And God is calling us to stand up, speak up, and be accounted for. Not allowing the devil and his schemes to run roughshod over us. Not allowing the devil to take our nation away from us. We have authority over that. Let me remind you. We have authority over who? Against rulers. Against authorities. Right? God's might. His power. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. Stand firm. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't be blown to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Stand firm. Having done everything to stand, stand therefore. Stand for Christ. Stand with Christ. And stand for Christ. Because it's all about Him. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Okay, if we're clothing ourselves with Christ and this belt of truth is Christ, then the truth would have to be the Word. Wouldn't it? With the best breastplate of righteousness in place. That breastplate of the righteousness that comes from Christ. Being clothed with Him. That breastplate of righteousness. I don't know if you've ever seen the armor on a military person of that time. But it was literally a breastplate. Say, clothe yourself with the righteousness of Christ. And verse 15, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Again, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The gospel of peace is Jesus' peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. Our faith is a shield with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the shield of faith and extinguish all the fiery darts, all of the lies and deception of the evil one. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Jesus is the living Word. That armor, it's all clothing ourselves with Jesus. And then verse 18, a reminder, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray on all occasions. That doesn't mean we wait until we have expired everything that we can do in the physical and say, oh, well, I guess all there is left to do is pray. When it should have been our first thought, well, I've tried everything and I got it so messed up now. All that's left to do is pray. I'll preach to myself, you guys come along with me. I've battled those tendencies too. It's called humanity, guys. That's why we all kind of chuckle, because we know how true it is in all of our own lives. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Guys, I'm excited when we come together and we've got a full house. Not just because it's good numbers. Not to stroke my ego. But because we need each other. You, I, all of you, we need each other. When this one's down, the rest of the body prays for them. Does whatever else they can do to meet their need. When they're back up and somebody else is down, then we do that for another person, and another person, and another person. We meet their needs according to riches, God's riches and glory. That's what it is to be the body of Christ, operating the way God ordained it to be, living this life of faith that He has called us into. That's what it is to be a healthy bride, a healthy body of believers. Guys, I'll tell you again, I believe we're going to see things that in the physical will horrify us this year and beyond. But Jesus, I can't express that enough. Jesus. Jesus. Paul doesn't miss a beat. He says, pray also for me. He's like, hey, wait a minute. I might be the leader here, but pray for me. I echo that. Pray for me. Pray for me that I'm not taken down by the devil. Pray for me that I'm discerning. Pray for my health. The last couple of years, man, I've had plenty of attacks on my health. I don't stand up here and whine about it all the time, but I've been through it. Pray for me. Because the enemy would like to take me out because he don't like what I'm doing. I don't care what he likes. Just trying to follow Jesus. Pray also for me, Paul says, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Doesn't that sound a lot like what I've been praying ever since the first time I preached, but right before I preached my message? So now, do you think maybe you know why I do that? Without God's help, I can't do this. See, I can't do what God's called me to do of my own. And I don't want to. I need His help every time. Every single time. And it encourages me because even Paul, and we put these guys, man, we put them up on pedestals. It's like, wow, if I could just be like them. Well, they were human too. They had their shortfalls. So Paul says, pray for me that whenever I open my mouth, whenever I open my mouth, that words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. See, he was in chains. because he preached the word. And he goes on to say, that I might pray that I might declare it fearlessly, as I should. We need to understand something. In the world and in this nation, it has been rapidly moving to the place where merely preaching the word of God is declared the hate speech. It's moving that way rapidly. Pray for me that I won't falter. That no matter what, I'll preach the gospel. I'll preach the word for what it says. Pray for me. I'm human too. I have weaknesses just like everybody else. I can so relate to Paul's words in this passage. You know, when God called me to preach, I hated being in front of people. I've told you this before. I mean, I did not like, I used to have a sweat for a week when I had to get up and give an oral book report at school. Part of that, I'll admit, was because I didn't read the book. I was trying to fake it to make it. But be assured, I'm reading the book. Okay? I'm reading the book. I'm not up here giving an oral book report and winging it. I'm reading the book, so. All right. But those first times I stood behind the pulpit, and I know they could hear my knees rattling. But see, God called me to do it. And I just simply told them, you're going to have to do it through me because I can't do it. And I'm freaking out right now. But if that's what you want from me, I'll do it scared. I'm still doing it scared. To this day, I've been pastoring, this year is 25 years. And I'm still doing it scared. And I started preaching quite a while before I started pastoring. So I've been preaching for a long time. And every time I do it scared. Every time the service is about to open, I've got goosebumps. Why? Because I'm freaked out. Faith in God is the force that holds the whole armor together in the life of a believer. Faith says, according to Romans 8:31, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for me, if God is for you, who can be against us? No one. Because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. First Thessalonians 5, verses 8 through 11. I'll give you a second to turn there. Well, maybe more than a second. First Thessalonians 5, verses 8 through 11 says, but since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, there it is, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, Encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Faith here is a firm, this faith that we're talking about here in this verse, it's a firm, unshakable confidence in the Lord and in His Word. Firm, unshakable confidence in Jesus and His Word. Unshakable. Which means when everything else is shaking, when the earth is shaking, because we're having more and more and more earthquakes, when our government is shaking because everything's beginning to fall apart, when the finances in this nation are about to crumble because we have $34 trillion in debt and it's beyond the tipping point of what we can tolerate as a nation. When everything is crumbling and cracking, when the Twin Towers have come down and they were a symbol of the wealth in this nation, people should have been paying attention when that happened, because God went, oh, you think you got this? Watch this. And the Twin Towers came down. And all he did was go like this. Just move the protection for a little few minutes. And people went to church for a couple of weeks and then just started blowing it off. Life is usual. God is going to send turmoil that's going to require that we who know Him live by faith. And not only that, the new believers that are swept into the kingdom are going to need discipled. God wants to use us, all of us, to disciple new believers. Prepare them for His return. See, we're all being prepared for heaven. Every one of us. That's what we're doing right now. We're being prepared for heaven. And as we grow in Christ, then we need to be taking people under our wing and preparing people to go to heaven as well that are newbies in Christ. That one-on-one discipleship with believers, discipling other younger believers, is the best kind of discipleship you will ever run across. Friendship discipleship is the absolute best. So is friendship evangelism. That's another message. So, this kind of faith says, no matter what happens, I believe God. No matter what's going on, I believe God. The world says this. The people in my circle of influence have said this to me, but God said this, and I'm going with God. Amen. We see here that verse 8 reminds us, again, verse 8 was, but since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Okay, that verse reminds us of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. And it says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Do you love God? Do you love His people? Even the people that aren't real lovable. Whoops. Now I crossed the line. But that's okay, because God's word requires us to love the unlovable. I don't mean we agree with them. That don't mean we have to agree with them. The world is trying to tell us if we don't agree, with a bunch of the blatant sin that's going on right now. They have all kinds of names for it. Bigots. All kinds of names. Deplorables. Thank you, Hillary. All kinds of names for us. But I want you to take the position I'm taking. All that matters to me is what God says about me. It's all that matters. All that matters to me is what God says about me. The apostle is simply saying that the sons and daughters of light should wear the protective covering of a consistent, godly life. Faith, hope, and love. Faith is dependence on God. That's the simplest way of defining what faith is. Dependence on God. Hope in Christ's return. Ultimately, that's the only real foundational hope that we all have. We hope in the fact that Christ is returning for his bride. And love. Love for the Lord and for one another. Faith, hope, and love. These three remain. The greatest of them is love. The enemy works relentlessly to get us to walk in fear. How many of you you guys realize that? Raise your hand if you've come to realize that. He works relentlessly to get us to walk in fear. Because it's the opposite of faith. Therefore, there is an acronym for fear that is very, very true. Those of you who have been around here for a long time, I've taught on this before, and you probably got it committed to memory, but for the benefit of those who are here that probably weren't here when I taught this last time. Acronym for fear. First word, false. Second word, E, evidence. Third, A, appearing. Fourth one, R, real. False evidence appearing real. The enemy works all the time to inflict fear on us by planting false evidence and trying to make us believe it's real. So then instead of walking through life in faith, walking in fear, because we fear all of these things that might be. Did you ever notice what we most of the time fear the most are the things that haven't even happened, they might happen? Am I telling the truth or not? Most of the time, there's no foundation to what we're fearing. It might be. We got to quit fearing the might-be's and deal with what is. Because God equips us to deal with what is in the moment. We had a preacher here quite a few years ago that said over and over to us in his message, what is, is. What is reality. You can't change it. What is, is. What's in the moment right now is. Nobody can change that. And what he was saying, you might as well learn to live by faith, because what is. And the only thing that carries you through that is the faith that you have in Christ. So this message is important to us because this equips us to live out the power that we are given through the infilling of the Holy Spirit of the living God. I hope you're challenged. It was a good reminder for me working this together. Very good reminder. See, and the beautiful thing is, I got 2 ears and 1 mouth, so when I'm speaking it, I get 2 ears, I can hear it. I need reminded too. Don't we all need reminded sometimes? We need filled up too regularly. You know why? Because we leak. These earthen vessels leak. We're cracked pots. And we leak. So we need constant infilling of the Spirit. All right. That's the message. Faith, our shield. I want to ask you something. In our passage, it says 4 times, stand. The word stand is 4 times in that passage. Having done all the stand, stand there. Now don't do this haphazardly. Don't do it without a little bit of thought. Don't take a stand if you're not really making a commitment. But for those of you that are willing to say, I am convicted and I'm taking a stand right now, no matter what comes in this year to come and beyond, I'm going to stand for and with Jesus. If that's you, stand up. I want to pray over you. If that speaks to you, I want to stand up and I want you to stand up. I'm going to offer a prayer. Well, Father, I lift up every single person that is standing up for you, saying, committing, Lord. We're making a commitment here today. No matter what, having done all to stand, we will stand together and be a part of your kingdom that gives an account of the hope that we have in Christ. Father, I pray that you will fill us fresh, every one of us right now in this building. Every person that is standing here, Lord God, I pray that you will fill them with the power of your Spirit and that we will walk in power and not be pitiful. That we will overcome the devil's schemes because we walk by faith and because we have clothed ourselves with Christ. Lord, as we leave this place today, we profess that we will never, 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 ever be the same as we were when we came in here today. That today we have been empowered. Today we have been touched by the mighty hand of God. Today your word has been sown in us, and we pray that you watch over it to perform it within us with every day to come until our life is required. Now, Lord, as we leave this place, bring people into our circles of influence that, Lord, you could use us to witness to them and to disciple them, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.